You know what I want.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the GM's Corner for the Boffin Banter Star Wars Actual Play Podcast. I am the Game Master, Curtis Weep, and we're going to change things up a little bit this time. I've got a few messages and emails, people asking for us to have conversations with some of the players, the people that are behind the various characters that you listen to with every episode. And I thought that was a pretty good idea, and it breaks up a little bit of the flow to do something new and different and just get to know the actual people that play the game, that sit around the table and commit the time to bring you some entertainment every few weeks. So this week we're going to be talking to Shannon Woodhouse, who is the player behind Okadessa. And if you've checked on the website, you'll see that Shannon has done the ladies' merchandise for the Rat Queens clothing line. And she's also a Twitch streamer just starting out, has done a few broadcasts already, and will be doing more in the upcoming weeks and months to come. But why don't I just say a quick hello? Hello, Shannon. Thank you for joining us this week on the GM's Corner.
Hello.
So I wanted to ask you just a few questions. First of all, before you sat down to play the Boffin Banter, did you grow up watching Star Wars, or was that something that you only came to later in life?
Nope, I definitely grew up watching Star Wars. That's probably, I think, the fourth movie I saw.
The fourth movie?
Yeah.
Was it the very first one, or was
it? No, it was Return of the Jedi.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you went and saw the other ones later, after the fact.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite character from the show or from the movies?
I loved the Ewoks when I was a kid. I was a little obsessed.
Right.
I watched anything that was spin-off to do with Ewoks.
Like the Battle for Endor.
Yes. Oh, I loved
that. What was the other one?
There was a cartoon.
Well, there was the Ewoks cartoon, but there was two movies. Battle for Endor.
There was for some reason, I think it's a Christmas one, but it's not. There's one with a little girl that crashed on a planet, and there's a monster, and I was the same age as that little girl, I think, and I was obsessed with that movie, and it drove my brother crazy.
Yeah, it's so funny, because a lot of people don't know about those movies, that they don't know that they happened. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that are Star Wars fans that have no clue about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever see the Christmas special?
I think I'm mixing the two up.
Oh, maybe.
And my brother hated the Ewoks. So every time we would, like, pretend or, you know, I pretend with my his friends that were older than me, that we were playing Star Wars or shooting each other, I'd want to be an Ewok, and they would always kill me immediately. So I also really liked R2 always.
Why R2?
I don't know. I maybe identify with him.
You identify with a robot that can't speak?
Well, I don't really. I have a trouble getting my point across sometimes. I misunderstood, or my verbiage isn't great. So
maybe you just have this superiority complex, because if you really think about it, R2 never says much, but he's always behind the scenes making sure everybody survives. So maybe that's how you see your role in life, is that you're making sure that everybody gets through the day, even if no one's thankful for it.
Yeah, I feel that I'm a good support character. I have lots of skills and that I don't really boast about. And you know, R2 for a robot is a bit operationally defiant sometimes.
Oh, that's true.
And I'm the same. You know, sometimes you try to rely on me to do something, and I'm like, no, just because.
Well, it's interesting, because I think Okadessa she's not a support character. She's actually, I mean, all the characters are, you know, they equally have their own story, but your story has branched off quite a bit onto its own thing. And we're going to talk about the role-playing game in a second. But I want to ask, were you a gamer your whole life, or is this only something you've come into recently as well?
I would say recently, in the last four or five years, I grew up watching gaming, but I wasn't allowed to participate, being the annoying younger sister.
Right.
So
and what were they playing when you were watching?
My brother still denies this, but they used to play D&D. And he denies it to this day. He's, no, I didn't.
The thing is, he doesn't know that it's kind of the cool thing now.
Yeah.
He's totally missed out on that. There's been this transition. From, like, I think he's gone the opposite way, because he's very sporty, and he goes, he's like very athletic. He does a lot of sports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like he was younger, he was the nerd, and now he's the jock. But culturally, it's switched. Now it's cool to be the nerd, and not so cool to be the jock.
Yeah, yeah.
He just totally missed
out. And so,
on that.
So he's still kind of the nerd because he doesn't know, and he's denying me.
Right.
And now he's trying to be the.
He's just
so out of sync. He doesn't know what's cool.
So what? So what games? You said you come into it recently. What was the first game that you played when you really got into it recently?
What sparked my interest again? I don't know. Well, I did do a bit of RPGing about, like, I started maybe 10 years ago online at work when I was supposed to be working. I played a strange planet. It doesn't exist anymore. But I think it was called Planetariums or something ridiculous.
Okay.
So I really wanted to play WoW at work, but I thought I would get caught doing that. So I would always log into this other one. And then what actually started sparked my interest again was just, I guess, tabletop. And I was...
Like the show that Will Wheaton does?
No, just tabletop games.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to play games with my group of friends at the time, and they weren't interested.
Yeah.
And then I found more like-minded people, and they introduced me to a whole range of tabletop games I didn't even know existed, and it just really started an addiction.
Okay. So what was your first role, like pen and paper role-playing game, where you sat down, you made a character, and you played a role-playing game?
It would be D&D.
Do you remember which edition it was?
Fourth? Yeah, because I just recently started playing on fifth edition, so I'm pretty sure it was fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you're playing the Star Wars system, which is pretty different. What do you think of the Edge of the Empire system so far?
It's awesome. It's just such an open world. It's so rich for creativity, which I'm usually bad at. I'm surprised at myself that I'm able to get into the character.
Right.
I'm more of a munchkin. I don't know how to explain. I'm more of a sometimes a rules lawyer in D&D. I'm annoying.
Well, we'll talk about your tendencies as a player in a little bit. But let's get back to the start of when we all sat down, and this is, I think, before we even really were going to do it as a podcast. I had mentioned that I'd like to record it and just put it online, but there was never any... I don't think we were formally expecting to do anything as I guess, I wouldn't say professional, but as much time commitment as I have put into it. I don't think that was something we'd expected.
Yeah.
So when you sat down to create your character, what were you expecting the campaign to be like?
Before we
had actually played and you sat down to make your character, what were you expecting?
I was expecting it to be like just other RPGs I've played. I briefly played a James Bond system that you adapted.
Right.
So I thought it would be a little bit more like that. I also played 13th Age recently, and I had trouble with the sort of, you know, open to creativity and interpretation.
Right, it has more room for the player to be creative.
Yeah, which I had a big issue, like I couldn't do it.
Right.
I didn't really know what to expect. I thought it was just going to be, I thought I'd be figuring out my stats, trying to like, you know, actually, you know what I really thought it would be like? It would be more like Imperial Assault.
The board game.
But in more of a RPG thing. So I thought that I was really concerned about what kind of weapons I'd acquire, how I could use them against you.
Well, I think to be fair that when we all sat down, none of us knew the system. I'd read the book. I'd never run it before. Obviously, you know, over the course of it, we've got messages saying, you know, this rule, it doesn't work like that. This is how it works. Luckily, most of us don't really care about that kind of thing, but we didn't understand, even when we were making characters, what those numbers would really mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think now, like, looking back, there are certain things that we didn't take advantage of as when you guys were all creating your characters. Like, statistically, your characters might not be the strongest, but I don't think that has really mattered that much. I think it's really been about the narrative, and the characters have come up because maybe of our experience with the system. We had to focus more on the characterization. So were you expecting the campaign to be something a little bit more serious, or would you think it'd be like just off the rails? Like, our D&D games are often just ridiculous. Like, ridiculous things happen. were you expecting this to be a little bit more toned down and like melodramatic when we set out?
The group that we assembled for this and the way I play D&D, I thought it was just going to be a shit show, like just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Funny, but ridiculous.
Yeah. Which it has been.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we have had a lot of laughs. There's been, I mean, their character interactions have been great. I mean, obviously, Doc is a favorite around our table with his ridiculous lies. You know, what I really like about the campaign, and I'll ask what you like in a second here, but one of the things I like is that every character has kind of those moments. You know, like, Quelbin has been kind of in the back, and he hasn't had a lot of his, like, these shining moments, but the last episode that we recorded was his show. Yeah. And we even had people tweeting at us, Quelbin's our favorite character now, because he just had that moment, right? What is your favorite thing about the campaign so far? Not necessarily a moment or a character, but just what is the thing that you like the most when you sit down to play this campaign?
I think the development of the characters, how everything's panning out, and that it takes surprising directions. Everyone's sticking to the story and how their character would really react.
Yeah.
I'm finding myself doing that too, instead of thinking, oh, how can I best use, you know, like how you normally would in a D&D campaign where you're like, how can I best use this, my weapon, my stat, you know, it's kind of like, I'm going to defeat this monster.
Right.
That's totally not what's going on. It's like, sometimes, you know, this character in this situation would be caught off guard, even if you as a player is not.
Right.
They would be emotionally driven or not, or tricked. Like, so it's that divide between me as a player and me as the character, which is really has never happened to me before.
Yeah,
in RPG.
It's been cool to see you take that direction. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I find really interesting about the system is that it doesn't come down necessarily to a dice roll. It comes down to a choice.
Yeah, it definitely
does. And I think that is forwarded so many of our character trajectories, and especially Okadessa. So, speaking of Okadessa, you know, you sat down, we together, you know, came up with just some basic ideas. We talked a lot about what your character was going to be like, and you had some pretty solid ideas at the beginning. You know, you talked about her history a little bit, about how she was sold into slavery at a young age. But the thing was, is we didn't know a lot of the finer details. Were you okay with that? Were you okay with me throwing some surprises at you as far as how that happened and who was behind it? I mean, you had the idea of the uncle. But you didn't know the finer details of how exactly he was involved with it, or if he was. You were kind of left that up to me.
Yeah.
Is that something you were okay with, or was that something you hopefully down the road can control a little bit more and have your own say in it?
No, I'm okay with you throwing those wrenches sometimes into the storyline, because it's more interesting that it's a developing character and she's taken turns that I didn't like. If I was a player that wanted to control everything and I had this main outcome for my character, that would be almost like winning. Like, I need my character to get to this end point, and I don't have that. It's sort of what would develop naturally.
Yeah.
And it's taken some really interesting turns.
Well, I mean, when you sat down and made Okadessa, and you that was one of the things you wanted as for your characters to have that force sensitivity.
Yeah.
Did you expect when you put that in there that it would become one of the defining, like if you look at the start of this campaign as to where she is now on her path, did you ever see that as like that would become a thing, or was that, did you think that the force aspect would just be kind of a minor part for her story?
I thought that it would just help the team out. She'd be kind of a, I don't know how to say it. I guess I thought of maybe Okadessa as being more of a Luke. You know, but not as even as well developed. Like she was, maybe you take a snippet of some of the movies and how he'd help out the other characters.
Right.
Like she'd be an asset that way. Like the force adept wouldn't be fully developed, but she'd be an asset in certain situations. You know, and when I was hashing out the character, I kind of made her a lot more serious than any of my D&D campaigns, but she was a little dull, like a little, not much personality there, she was more, I thought maybe more of a support character.
Yeah.
And then she ended up being, the whole thing about is she on the, you know, light or dark, that kind of didn't come up. Like, that question hit me. Oh, I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, so, and that is something that we've talked about after the games, and this is why I want to do these interviews, is because a lot of these motivations and stuff we talk about happen after the session. But one of the things that we talked about that we're exploring with Okadessa is the fact that Koderic, who's training her, he stopped his training with the Jedi at a very, very young age. So yeah, he probably didn't even get to the point where he understood the nature of the light and the dark side.
Yeah.
He just knew that it was something that he could use. It didn't matter his emotional state. That didn't even come into it. It's just like, yeah, oh, it boosts my abilities in this way. And yeah, now he's training. Well, he is training you. So he's training you without any inclination towards the light or dark. He's just like, you can use this yeah to help you.
Yeah.
Without any knowledge of, like, the you know, the Sith or the Jedi.
Yeah.
It's completely neutral. And I think that is really interesting.
I think it's really interesting, too. It's like this, it makes you look at Star Wars in a whole new light. Like, we're fans of the whole universe, you have very specific things in mind. Like, right, you know, the color of the lightsabers.
Right.
Just brings you know what it is immediately, but imagining that these characters have no idea, they've never heard of it. So the fact that you could, you know, use the Force, or you know something is different about mm-hmm yourself, but you've never met anybody else
yeah
that can use this, you wouldn't have any idea if it's good or bad.
Right.
You would think it's good. Like, there would be answers coming together. You
yeah
wouldn't know that there was two sides. You would just say, this is something like a power I can use, and that all my answers to everything I've ever wanted to know lies in this thing I have. So there'd be no understanding of good or bad.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the most recent for the Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer, it kind of, one of the things that I was always concerned about is like, well, how realistic is it that Koderic, at the very least, and your character as well, and we've talked about it a little bit with the other characters, that it's like this ancient lore, even though timeline wise it's not that far in the past that the Jedi were around. Like, how feasible is it that people wouldn't know? And then in that trailer, you know, Han Solo says it's true, all the legends.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I like that, because yeah it does say, like, to like 95% of the universe, it's just legend yeah and stories.
Yeah. But
they lived it, right? Yeah. They were like, I was there. It happened. But it yeah only was probably real to the people that were actually there.
Yeah.
So to everyone else, it's just a myth. It's lore.
Yeah.
And so it actually works, I think, in that case, that, you know, it's, you have no clue. This is all completely
yeah
new to you. And the lightsaber, it's like, you get that there's something to it, but you don't know what it is at this
yeah
point.
Yeah. And, you know, Okadessa trying to be a pragmatic person would probably not discuss these things,
right,
or just like hide them with, and also the, you know, growing up in that kind of atmosphere,
right,
should hide any kind of thing that would set her apart, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
So one of the things that we've actually done now with your character is we've changed you from Edge of the Empire
mm-hmm
to Force and Destiny.
Yeah.
Because you're on this path. It didn't make sense anymore to have you with an obligation, especially because your obligation was removed from the game,
yeah,
Zafirek, which has been a defining, I think, interestingly, the removal of your obligation has led you directly into the Force and Destiny, where now you are on a path, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, in the end, after looking through the Force and Destiny book, you decided that, just given the path of the character, what is your strength and your weakness?
Her strength is independence, so she can work alone. She's not scared to be by herself, and also is removed from pressures.
Right. Yeah.
Others.
She mm-hmm hasn't. She doesn't need feel the need to cow to others.
Yeah.
Others' thoughts and opinions. She has her own.
So, you know, quick thinking too. She won't be. Her decisions aren't swayed by the group.
Right.
She'll remove herself from that.
So that's her strength.
Yeah.
And then her weakness is?
You know, the flip side of that is just coldness at times.
Right.
So she, you know, won't help somebody. Some, you know, she maybe can remove her emotional
right
state. And and remove herself from her personal obligations, maybe.
Right, so the threat now for her is this, you know, becoming completely cold to people's plights,
mm-hmm.
right? If it you might not consider that that is something that could be a danger to your character.
Yeah.
And I mean, it hasn't quite come up yet, but and I think when we were talking a bit about it, you originally were wavering between passion and anger, which a rage, I guess. And I think that also fit, but I think long term, I think what you chose definitely makes more sense. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what it eventually... That could change. We don't know. Like, she could just become a complete rageaholic.
Yeah.
But that hasn't presented itself yet, right?
I think just, like, some of the things that came through when playing is that she considered, you know, is the one that sits down, tries to think about things and doesn't, and, like, hide, you know, pushes down all any emotions about stuff.
Right.
That it would make sense that she would go... That might become a negative, that she would remove her emotion, especially after her one, the one person that she had true alliances to is now dead.
Yeah, so let's talk a bit about the death of Zophoric. So, it's, for me, that actually took a bit of an interesting turn, and I want to backtrack just a little bit here. This whole thing where we talk about where we sat down at the beginning, and now where we see your character is as, you know, going down this dark path, that all came out from the faction system. The whole thing with Koderic, all of that was just a natural occurrence because of all the things that were happening in behind the scenes, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
That I wasn't sure how much influence this faction system would actually play in the development of character. I just thought, it's a cool sandbox that you guys can play in, and... You know, it makes it any options available to you. If you want to do whatever you want to do, it's all open. Yeah. But your character's arc in particular has been dramatically affected by the faction system, by the fact that Koderic was put in your path. That didn't have to happen at all, and it did. And I think it's led you in a very interesting direction. Now, because you crossed paths with Koderic, we also had Zophoric come into play. Now, Zophoric was your obligation, and when we first started playing it, if you remember in the first, like, I think 2-3 episodes, he was a complete joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was this, like, oh, Zophoric, you crazy character, and we played it off as a joke. And it literally went from that, in the same scene, it went from, like, haha, Zophoric, what a joke, to the defining moment of your character.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think you said it really, really beautifully, actually, was that in your eulogy for him when you were in the dunes... And saying goodbye to him, you said you'll be missed by one. Yeah. And that was like the saddest statement in this entire game.
Yeah,
like I got choked up thinking about it. It's like, he did. He fought for you. And only you as a player know that. Nobody else at the table knows
in the whole,
that.
Like, universe knows that side of
that him. He saved you. But due to some complications in his life, he became a drug addict. And it's like a really sad story that hasn't come out yet. It may never now.
Yeah.
It may be buried with him. And it may be buried in Okadessa now because... You know, his memory, like you said, you're gone. And I'm really excited to see where you go from that. So when that happened, how did you as a player feel when your character's brother died and it was your obligation was taken away from you?
Well, it was, you know, I knew that there was a shift right there because, you know, I was given the choice to kill his killer. And, you know, as a player, I'm like, no, that's a bad idea. But, you know, the Okadessa storyline, what would happen? That she suddenly has a power.
Which she doesn't understand. Do this, it's going to... I mean, she probably understands murder is not...
Yeah,
this, but he did murder your brother, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could be that coldness coming in already, right?
Yeah, so I knew as soon as that happened that it was... going to change everything, but I had to play it to...
How have you felt now that you're separated from the group? In fact, you haven't really been part of the group now for about 4 episodes.
Yeah.
How have you felt as a player? Have you felt any more like there's more on your shoulders, or do you like the idea that your character has her own story away from the other characters? Do you feel it detracts or it adds? What is your thoughts on it?
I feel like there's more on my shoulders. I feel that that there's some heavy decisions now. Like, if I was playing with them, those decisions would just come along. You know, it would be easier to make. They'd be right. Small increments. But I feel that when we cross paths, there's a big decision to be made. And that's definitely heavy on my shoulders.
Right.
And also, it's interesting, the side trips.
Right.
Just to see.
You've gone back to your home planet.
Yeah, which will affect how I deal with the group as well.
Yeah, I think you're going to come back a different character.
Probably,
From the events on Ryloth.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the events in the last episode. The rest of the table gave you a bit of a hard time for what they said. You easily fell into this trap or whatever. So you seemed a bit concerned about it, but I actually didn't. I walked away from that not thinking that at all. I completely saw that, you know, this was, you haven't seen family, but, you know, you just lost your brother, you buried your brother.
Yeah.
This is the first you've seen family in 15 years, and you were like a 7-year-old when you left.
Yeah.
So your memories of that time are probably hazy at best.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about what Okudesa was thinking when she went back to the estate, and then obviously you were locked in your room, and it looks like some bad things are going to happen to Okudesa, but why didn't she ask any questions? Why didn't she to see if maybe he was lying or hiding something from you?
Oh, I think she was maybe a little bit in shock. And to go, they say you can never go home again, but that's probably the closest she never expected to go home again.
Right.
And she actually did, like walking into her home, she thought it was all destroyed. So, and this is family, you know, family that she used to trust. So, or, as a kid, you don't distrust, you know, your close family members. So, you know, probably brought her back to that time. So, more that she was, you know, she's always a bit hesitant, but, you know, probably felt a bit of a warm embrace just being in that atmosphere and didn't
question it.
Yeah, let her guard down. Even though some things were strange and she's like, I'm going to go look around.
Right.
It's probably the most comfortable she's felt in a really long time just because it's her home.
Yeah. So, obviously, you have had time to think about the next session. What do you have any plans? Do you have any, or do you want to surprise the listeners with what you plan to do?
I'm going to surprise the listeners along with myself and what I plan to do. That one, I don't know. Yeah, it's I don't know.
It's a
tough one.
Well, I think what you were talking about before when you were saying how you were given a choice in that moment when whether to kill Zofrick's killer or to let him live. I think that was something that was unfortunately cut out in the editing process, and it plays out like you just literally went up and just went crazy on him.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff does get cut out in editing just to make those scenes a little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
Where I cut out like the conversation in between each of the actions. And I think that was a casualty in that situation. But yeah, your character definitely did have a choice, and I did want to point that out because it was a pretty important one. Do you have a favorite character at the table?
I think it's a toss-up between Muzzo and Doc. They both really entertain me.
Right.
Just listening to how things play out. Story-wise, I think Talia's story is really interesting. I want to see where that goes.
Yeah.
I feel like something's really being laid out there.
Yeah.
It could go in really interesting directions, but just like playtime and just interest, like fun to listen to and just like surprising me is probably Muzzo and Doc.
So you haven't, you know, because we're all so separated now and our stories are kind of going in different directions, which I'm being honest, that was never something I planned. It's just gone that way and I'm rolling with it.
Yeah.
That hasn't bothered you that sometimes you have to sit there for 45 minutes while somebody else has their story?
No, because I want to see what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, I've been finding myself, at first I'm like, okay, well, how does this refer to my character? I better be listening because I can use these things or this might affect me negatively. You know, that's the way I was going about it. But now it's just like, oh, I just want to see what.
Right.
How the story plays out.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of the stuff that is happening to the other characters, you're not even on the same planet, so you're not at all in the know.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty interesting, too, in the last episode when Quelbin came back. Because Quelbin, his player Lonnie, who was, I think he missed two or three episodes, he also didn't know what was going on because we played a few episodes without him. So yeah. Quelvin came back as out of the loop as Lonnie did.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, catch me up. And we're like, no.
No.
Because it makes sense that you wouldn't know you were gone.
Going on. Yeah. Yeah. That's actually the best way to play it. Yeah.
So we've also had people come on to our show and guest. Do a guest appearance. We've had Fiona Staples, Ben Rankle, we've had Travis Willingham and Laura Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
How have you enjoyed that? Is that something that you feel a little bit self-conscious about when you have new people playing, or is it just, let's just roll with it, see how it goes?
It's been really fun. I like the new voices in the storyline and just right. how they react to us. It's really fun. I think there's only one moment where I did become self-conscious, and I think it was when Laura and William were on, because I had been practicing trying to do an accent for like a 2 days when I was doing dishes and everything.
As all great actors are known, they practice for two days
because that's all it takes, right?
Yeah.
So I had all these YouTube channels on and I try out these different accents and I cannot do any accent.
Yeah,
none.
You're terrible.
It doesn't even sound like
it. And trust me, listener, I heard them. They're terrible.
It's terrible. So I was telling everybody this beforehand, but I think they missed that conversation. And I think I felt, I'm like, they're voice actors. Oh, I should try to do an accent or something because it doesn't, everybody else is doing something that defines their voice different
right.
than their character. So there was a moment.
I thought it sounded like Okadessa had a goddamn stroke.
I think she did. I think there was a moment where she had a stroke.
Like she started talking all. He is a good boy.
He is a good boy.
It was amazing. So that was when you said William. Travis.
Sorry, why did I say William?
Well, his last name is William. Williams.
See, I get all nervous when I talk about,
so. Willingham. I said Williamson. Willingham. But, yeah, it's on their special episode, episode 3, and when they're going through the customs and she's trying to vouch for Muzzo, and I don't know what happened. Like, not only did she start talking weird, but then her, like, excuse to get him through customs was, he's a good boy, he's gonna do well on the spelling bee. That was one of the worst Okadessa moments. I'm going on record, that was the worst Okadessa moment in the campaign so far.
She was nervous with the new new people joining the team. Wookiees make her nervous,
I guess. So so speaking of that, what would you say is the worst Okadessa moment? Not necessarily where you had a stroke and started talking funny, but what was the worst thing that she did? Or like just one of the moments you're like, oh, if I could do that over, I would.
There's a few. I think I'm self-conscious about the way the last episode ended. And a little backstory on that is because I do my D&D campaign is with one of the players. So that's Talia, played by Jordan. Jordan Groves. I've played a couple different D&D campaigns with him, so he's really used to the way I play, and I'm the one that's always like check traps. Like I'm very cautious about going into new situations
right.
and just trying to, oh, we're walking into a trap. So he was the one that's like, that's not how you play. Like, what is going on? Were you drunk? Like, what is going on? So I was a bit self-conscious. I'm like, oh, maybe that was stupid. But I was just, like we talked about before, I was just trying to play the way the character would.
Yeah, that's great.
And there's been a couple times where I'm like, yeah, that was stupid. I think with just the most recent one with Echo, I'm like, oh, I knew she was. I knew it. Like, I don't know why
she
I didn't.
Ambushed you?
Yeah, I should have. I'm really kind of obsessed with getting to use vigilance. I don't know why. I just really have been from the beginning. So I'm like, that was a good opportunity to use that and use my uncanny reactions. But but I didn't because I don't know. I was just all excited about finding the crew.
Well, yeah, you hadn't been, that was your first encounter with him in 2 sessions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that totally made sense. Okay, so with that out of the way, what is your favorite or one of the best things you think you've done as Okadessa?
I think telling Box that I drove bus. That really left a lasting impression. Yeah. No. Favorite thing I've done? Well, she's done a few Jean-Claude Van Damme moments that right. I'm like, oh, that's pretty badass. Yeah. I imagine it just out of a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Right.
So, like, some of her leaps into battle is pretty brave.
Yeah.
I think her attempt to leap on Echo when they were fighting during the Travis and Laura episode,
yeah.
That was I thought it would look cool. It wasn't that effective, but it sure would look cool. And then in the last episode, she jumped on the speeder.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Pretty badass.
Which also, we cut out a large portion of that in the editing, but she had rolled a Triumph, and I asked her to describe exactly what she did, and that's what she did. She leaped from her speeder that was still moving onto another speeder and then made that attack. So that was pretty cool. So... one final question before we wrap up here, and then we'll get to your details. What do you hope for Okadessa's story? What is the one thing that you really would like to see for her?
Honestly, it could go either way. I would like to see her. It would be interesting. I don't know personally what I'd like to see for her, but as far as the game goes, I think if Okadessa is awarded any type of power, it could go really bad, or it could go good. It could send her on the right path or the
right.
wrong path. Because I don't think she will end up in a situation where she's in that kind of control. But I think she.
Who knows?
I don't know how she'll get there with all these different factions and whatnot going on. She's not, you know, hasn't really been setting herself up to, well, no, maybe.
Well, you might have. Yeah, you don't know yet.
Yeah. So I think power could be a very dangerous, it could be a game changer. Like,
especially with coldness and yeah, independence,
yeah,
right?
You
wouldn't want to ally yourself with anyone. You're cold to anybody else's plights. It could be pretty interesting.
Could be interesting. And the most interesting thing about it is I think the other players would never see it coming.
No, I don't think so. I think a lot of the stuff that's happened has been just like a surprise every episode.
Yeah.
I'm personally interested to see what happens when you come back.
Yeah.
There's already, we're seeing the seeds for it, but they want to strike against Chalu.
Yeah.
And Okadessa doesn't.
No.
Especially knowing Koderic's connection.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing this bond develop between you and Koderic, and I don't think it's a romantic one. I think it's a mentor student relationship.
Well, the only other person in the universe that can give her the answers that
he's the only one who understands what you've gone through, right?
Knows. Yeah.
As far as you know.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what will happen when you come back. There's some stuff happening in the faction system that you're not aware of yet that is going to directly affect that storyline when you come back.
Okay.
So it should be interesting to see.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Well, let's wrap up there. Thank you so much for coming on to this episode. I think this would be a really great thing to do with all the players just to get a look behind the curtain with how you see your character and just the bit of the person that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Where can we find you online?
I've recently joined Twitch, and I can be found as D20Babe.
Twitch.tv/D20Babe.
Which is my little joke on Booth Babe, which I think is funny and ironic. I have a strange sense of humor, and I can also be found on Twitter under that handle.
Okay.
I'm also at ShanJams84 on Twitter as well.
That's more you. That's less your professional side. That's more your personal thoughts.
But that's the one that people actually are my friends.
Okay.
And I can be found on Instagram as well. Recent account as D20Babe.
All right. Okay, and what kind of stuff are you going to be doing on your Twitch channel?
On my Twitch channel, I'm going to be playing retro RPGs, which I'm doing horribly at. And ones I've never played before. It's quite a learning curve.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to hopefully get together once a week or twice a week a new campaign. So it's going to be some really interesting ladies. It'll be all ladies. No boys. No boys allowed.
Except for me, because I'll be running it.
Wow.
To start.
Wow, to start, yeah. Well, then we'll kick you out and be like, ladies only. So, yeah, some really interesting gals from all different backgrounds.
Okay.
But they're all online. They all have an online presence. Yeah. But we'll bring some different personalities to the table.
Okay.
And you'll
be playing Monster of the Week.
Yeah, right? We're going to play Monster of the Week. So basically a world where monsters exist.
Yeah.
So
a modern story.
A modern story this time. So think of like Buffy or Supernatural. Right. Monsters exist, but the majority of people it's somehow hidden.
Okay.
To the majority of people.
All right.
So.
Excellent. Well, you can check Shannon Woodhouse out at those different links and addresses, and of course you can always check her out on our show where she plays Okadessa and is causing a lot of mayhem. And that'll be it for the GM's Corner this week. It is a day late, unfortunately. I had a deadline yesterday and it took up most of my day, but we'll be back at our regular show next week. Next Thursday we will have our new episode out. And I will be going away for about a week. I'm going to be going to the UK to do the Thought Bubble comic book show. So I'll be gone for about a week. I believe we'll probably have to delay one episode while I'm gone. And then I will be right back at it once I come back from that show. If you are in the Leeds area in the UK, I will be there from the November 9th to the 15th at the Thought Bubble convention. That's a wrap for this episode of the GM's Corner. We will talk to all of you very soon.
Bye!